Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to listen to your word. Father, I ask you to be with me. Holy Spirit, I have no words or wisdom or knowledge of my own. Come and take control and speak through this vessel. Speak unto the hearts of your children this morning, and let this be transformation of hearts and a lifting up of souls in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Children, praise the Lord. Are you happy? Today is your day. If you are happy and you know it, shout amen. If you are happy and you know it, shout amen. If you are happy and you know it, and you really want to show it. If you are happy and you know it, shout amen. Stand up. Sit down. Praise the Lord. We thank God for today. Our topic for this day, Children's Day, is growing in favor with God and man. And we have read the lesson taken from Luke chapter 2, from verses 40 to 52. Now, the first thing there, favor, according to the Oxford Learner's Dictionary, is having an approval or having support or having the help of somebody or something. Favor is when you have something that you have not earned, or when somebody helps you something, or when somebody renders help to you that you do not deserve. So we shall be looking at how to have favor with God, our Heavenly Father. The things we need to do to remain in favor with our Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. Can we quickly turn together to verses 41 and 42 of the text we read? That is Luke chapter 2, 41 to 42. Can we go there together? Are we there? He says, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. This is talking about Mary and Joseph. They went down to Jerusalem, and when their son Jesus was 12 years old, they took him along. And looking at these two verses, the first thing that strikes me there is that Mary and Joseph were consistent in their worship of God. They were faithful in their worship of God. Now, that is an example for we parents to follow. We must be consistent and regular in our worship of God the Father. And we must teach our children to do the same. Praise the Lord. The next verse there that strikes me is verses 47 and 47. Let's go there together again quickly. Verse 47, 6 and 47. Now so it was, I'm reading from New King James, please. Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. He says, now all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. What does it tell us there? It tells us that Jesus, as young as he was, 12 years of age, he already knew the word of God so well that all those who heard him were astonished at his understanding and at his answers. 12 years of age. You may say, well, yes, he was the son of God, or rather, he is the son of God. But you cannot rule out the fact that his parents played their part in teaching him the word of God. Another example for us parents to follow. we must teach our children the word of God. That is the very first thing that we must teach our children. Praise the Lord. Now, children, question for you. Do you bring out time to study the word of God at home? How often do you do that? Do you do that every day? Or do you spend your time watching cartoons? Or watching movies? Or browsing the internet? We must, just like Jesus, apply ourselves to the word of God in order to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God. We must take the example that Jesus has showed us this morning in applying ourselves to the word of God. 12 years of age, you can imagine, and he was sitting in the midst of professors, doctors, scholars, all of them. He was asking their questions, and he was answering them, and they were all surprised. An example we must learn from Jesus this morning. Children, you must be diligent in studying your Bibles. You must be diligent in reading your Bibles every day. You have been taught about quiet time. You must take it serious and spend time with God every day, studying your Bibles so that you can grow in the way of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, about my father's business. Verse 49. Let's all quickly look at it. Verse 49. He says, and he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Question for us again. What is it that takes your time? Do you spend time doing the things that delight God? Or do you spend time doing the things that just delight you? Do you remember to talk about what Jesus has done for you, to your friends, to your neighbors, to your family? Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. We must be about our Father's business if we want to grow in favor with God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, children. Now, subject to his parents. Let's again look together. Verse 51. Everybody, verse 51. It says, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Jesus was subject to his parents. That is, he followed his parents home and he obeyed them. He respected them. He obeyed their instructions. He obeyed all that they told him to do. Children, example again for us to follow. Example from Jesus. We must do what? We must obey our parents. We must do what? Obey our parents. You can imagine Jesus, who was God himself and the Lord of the entire creation, went home and he was subject to his earthly parents. So if Jesus can do that, then we must do the same. We must be obedient to our parents, and we must be obedient to all that bring us up in the way of the Lord. That is, we must be obedient to our teachers in school, our Sunday school teachers, our pastors, and anybody, our elders, anybody that tells us or gives us good instruction in the way of the Lord. We must follow Jesus' example and be obedient. Remember Ephesians 6 verse 1? Ephesians 6 verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? For this is right. The Bible is telling us we must obey our parents, and God will help us. If we do that, if we obey our parents, we will grow in favor with God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. I'm reading from Ephesians 6, verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So if you want to have a long life on earth, and if you want to enjoy a peaceful life, you must obey your parents, you must honor your parents, you must respect them. Your parents may not always be right, but they are in charge. God has put them in charge. And you have no right to rebel against them. If you differ from them or you disagree with them, all you need to do is do your best to help them understand your own point of view. But you have no right to rebel against them. Praise the Lord. Sometimes young children begin to think that, okay, because they have entered secondary school or the higher institution, they are now more knowledgeable or they know more than their parents. But they are wrong. That is very wrong. Like we heard this morning, our parents have been where we are now. And so they have more experience, they have more knowledge to handle whatever it is that we are going through now. So you must obey your parents and not rebel against them. Praise the Lord. If we obey our parents, we said, we will do what? We will have long life and we will have a peaceful life here on earth. Now, Mary and Joseph lived by example. They lived by example and they showed Jesus the way. They taught Jesus to live the same. They taught Jesus to be the same. They taught Jesus the way of God. So parents, we must also live by example. And in order to live by example, in order to be able to show our children the way, we parents, we must do what? We must know the way ourselves. So that it won't be a case of the blind leading the blind. When the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The way. What is that way? The way of godliness and righteousness. And so if we do not know the way ourselves as parents, we cannot show the way. We have to know it. And so the first thing we parents must do is we need to apply ourselves in knowing the way of righteousness so that we can teach our children, so that we can model it for them to see. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we need to know the way to be able to show this way to our children, to be able to show the way of righteousness to our children. If we do not know if we do not know the word of God, we cannot teach it to our children. I'm talking to parents now. If we do not know how to pray, we cannot teach our children how to pray. If we don't know how to trust God in our life, then we cannot teach it to our children. We have to first know it in order to show the children the way. And when we know it and show our children the way, then our children will grow up to be Christ-like. And that is the best legacy that any parent can give to his or her child. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 52. Let's read it together. Verse 52. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God, then favor with man. And it is not by accident that wisdom comes first. Remember we said that we must teach our children the word of God. We must teach our children the word of God. It is our responsibility as parents. It is not based on the school teacher's responsibility or the school teacher's responsibility. It's our responsibility as parents to teach our children the word of God. And it is never too early to start. You cannot say, this child is too young, what will he understand? No. Remember that spirits are ageless. So you can't say this child is 2 years old and so the spirit in him is 2 years old. No. The spirit is ageless. The physical body has an age, but the spirit in that child has no age. And the spirits know how to relate to themselves. And so the spirit of the word of God will relate to the spirit in the child. Even the unborn, it might surprise you. So if you're pregnant, you can still read the word of God, read out the word of God aloud over your unborn children. They will hear, they will understand. The spirit of the word of God will relate to the spirit of that child. Praise the Lord. And so, we need to have regular family devotion time in our homes. make out time every day and pray together as a family. Pray with your children. Teach them to read the Bible. Teach them that there's no other book that will guide them in life outside this book, the book of life. Buy a Bible for each child. Do not say, no, he doesn't know or she doesn't know how to read. No. Buy a Bible for each child. If they tear it or lose it, please replace it. Replace it. And let them know how important this book of life is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The next thing we want to look at is stature. Jesus also grew in stature. Now, stature has to do with physical characteristics such as height and build. But it has also to do more broadly with the overall physical development, that is particularly discipline. Yes, Jesus grew in stature, that is in height, in body, but he also grew in discipline. Now, for our children to grow in stature, a balanced diet, exercise is essential. We need to provide this for our children to grow in stature. But in giving them a balanced diet, we must make sure that they do not become gluttons. And that is where self-control comes in, which is what I want to talk about. You know, children are born, you know, they have no restraint, they have no self-control. Anything that is on their mind, they will just say it the way it is. Anything they see, they want to have it. Have you ever taken a child to a shop? You tell them, I want this, I want that one, buy this, buy that, buy that. They have no restraint. A child sees his mate, a fellow child, eating something, and he will go and collect it. I want it, you know. So we need to teach them, as parents, that self-control. We need to teach them self-discipline. We need to teach them that they cannot have everything they want. We need to teach children that they cannot, you know, it's not all anything they desire that they must get. Jesus himself also was like a child, was like each and every one of you. It's just that he was without sin. But he learned self-control. So if Jesus learned self-control, our children must learn it too. A lot of people are in the prison today because they did not learn self-control as children. They are living disorganized lives because they didn't learn self-control. And they didn't learn it because their parents did not teach them. Their parents did not train them up well. And so no matter how such people are today, no matter how tall they are people of diminished stature. So if you want your child to increase in stature, you must teach him self-discipline and self-control, just like Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus also increased in favor with God. In favor with God. We have already defined favor and what it means. Favor, which means that Jesus had God's approval. Matthew chapter 3 verse 17 says, can we read it together? Go with me to Matthew chapter 3 verse 17. Matthew 3 verse 17, are you there? And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So God the Father was pleased with Jesus. Can God say the same of you? Children, can God say the same of you? This is my beloved son, daughter, in whom I am well pleased. We must do the will of the Father in order to gain the approval of the Father. We must learn from our parents. We must apply ourselves to the wisdom that is taught us by our parents, to the wisdom that we learn from the Word of God. Children learn best by observation. They are visual learners. Okay? Parents, they are visual learners. They learn what they see you do. If they see you pray, they will learn it. If they see you read your Bible, they will learn it. If they see you exhibit trust for God every day, your everyday life, they will learn it too. So if you don't do all of those, children will not learn it. It's not by just telling them, it's good to read the Bible. It's good to do this. No, you must teach them and then also do what? Leave it. And then they will learn it. And when they do that, they develop an intimate relationship with God. Now the question is, can young children develop a relationship with God at an early age? Yes. Remember, Jesus did so at 12 years of age, and even probably much earlier. Samuel also did so at a very young age. So much so that even when he found himself in the house of Eli, where the sons were corrupt, living corrupt lives, he wouldn't be influenced. He was not influenced. He had a relationship with God. 1 Samuel 2 verse 26. 1 Samuel 2 verse 26. Open there. Let's go there together. 1 Samuel 2 verse 26. And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. And Samuel was very young. So young children can also develop a relationship with God. They are never too young to do that. It is never too early to begin to bring a child in contact with the things of God. Many children develop relationships with God at a very tender age. Remember, we said earlier that the spirit is ageless. So young children can enjoy a relationship with God that is as real as that of an adult. So we need to do the things, remember we said we need to bring our children in contact with the Word of God. We need to teach our children to love God and to fear the Lord and to hate and shun everything that is evil. We need to make them aware of God's attitude to sin, that He hates sin. We need to make them know that God is always everywhere watching them. Wherever they are, even inside the toilet, God is there watching them. There's nowhere that God cannot be found. There's no hiding place for God. We need to teach them that. We need to make them know that this world they are in is not their real home, that their real home is in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to teach them to talk, to witness for God, to preach to other people about God. That way they grow in favor with God. Train them all from a very early age to love and trust God so that the favor of God will be upon their lives. Their eternal destiny depends on this. Praise the Lord. In favor with man. Now, in favor with man, that's another area that we learn from verse 52 that Jesus grew. Now, in favor with man doesn't mean that Jesus was pleasing everybody, no. It doesn't mean that we should teach our children to become men pleasers, no. It means teaching them to be responsible people in the society. It means teaching them good manners. It means teaching them the graces that they need to have to be able to live responsibly in the society, in their schools, in their neighborhood. We need to teach our children how to greet. Some children, they see you in the morning, they will just be staring at you. It's our duty as parents, I'm talking to the parents now, teach your children to greet. Teach them to say thank you. Teach them to say I'm sorry. Teach them all these things. Teach them to house help shabbily. They begin to treat that one, and they begin to treat other people that way. We need to teach them to talk respectfully to people and treat people respectfully too. Teach them how to behave in the society. When you carry your children in the car, when you get to traffic light, what do your children see you do? Do they see you just speed off even when the light is showing red? Teach them to live responsibly in the society. There are some people that from year to year, they don't pay their bills. They don't pay their taxes. And they call themselves Christians. And our children see those things and they begin to learn them. It may surprise you that there are some parents that even go to buy special centers, or rather pay for special centers for their children to take exams. What are you teaching that child? Are you teaching the child to be a cheat? Are you teaching the child to deceive, to be deceptive? We must model good, responsible attitude and behavior for our children to follow, so that they will grow in favor with man, just like Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, children,
We have read Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 3. We read it earlier. And we said, you should honor your father and your mother and respect and obey them. We have already talked about that. No need going over it again. We said if you want to have long life here on earth, then you must respect and obey your parents. You must honor them. You must listen to your parents' instruction. Please let somebody read Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. A child, please. Proverbs chapter 1, 8 and 9. One child. Quickly, we don't have time. Leah. Praise the Lord. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake it. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. For there will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. So if you want to be decorated in this life, you must do what? Obey your parents. You must listen to the instructions of your mother and your father. Do not be disobedient children. You must honor your parents. And also honoring them, it's important to state that honoring your parents also means that when they are old and aged, when they can no longer fend for themselves, you should not neglect them. You should also help them by providing for them. Praise the Lord. Children, when you are of wrong behavior, your parents will discipline you. They will discipline you. And when they do that, do not think that they hate you. No. I used to think the same when I was young, when my mother would discipline me and insist that everything, I should get everything right. But now, looking back, I thank God. So when they discipline you, they are doing that in love. Everybody say in love. Your children, your parents, when they discipline you, they are doing that because they love you, not because they hate you or because they just want to inflict pain on you. No. So you must learn to take discipline very well. Take it in good faith. Parents, we said earlier that our main responsibility as parents is to produce righteous and godly offspring. That is to produce righteous children for God. We heard earlier during the talk show that the children that have been given to us are not ours. They are God's children. And we should count ourselves privileged to be given this task. And we must not fail in this task. If God would not spare his own prophet Eli, then he would not spare you. You must train up your child. You must train up your child. Take it upon yourself. Give it all it takes. We have been told that our children and our family should be our first job and our first ministry. We should love our children over our jobs, over our ministry, over our profession. We should love our children first. A child's conscience is just clean. And it will take whatever is written on it, whether good or evil. So it now depends on us to make sure that what is written on the child's conscience, that on the child's heart, is good and not evil. And so we must, as parents, like we said earlier, we must train up the child in the way they should go. We must discipline them by first setting clear rules and standards in the home. And when they go against this, we can punish. We punish when they disobey us. Teach your children to obey you. And when they disobey you, you punish them. You discipline them. Be firm. Don't be too permissive, parents. But yes, loosen up when you have to and play with them. Come down to their level. The Bible tells us that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Please, the rod is not your hand. We must discipline, but do not use your hand as a rod. The rod, the Bible calls it the rod of discipline, could be an implement, maybe a short stick or a cane. And please, when you are disciplining a child, do not do that in anger. It was mentioned earlier. What should be at the back of our mind is correction, love, tenderness. Be firm, but yes, tender. Many of us parents are quick to, because the child has done something wrong, has angered you quickly, before you know it, the child has received a slap. Many parents are guilty of that. But we have been told this morning, do not discipline in anger. Calm down if you're very angry, and then discipline the child. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, I just want to quickly mention before I close that it's important you don't call your children names. If a child has done a foolish thing, don't call him foolish girl, or stupid boy, or lazy boy. Okay, separate that bad behavior from the person. You can say, yes, you did a foolish thing, but separate the behavior from the person. And then work on correcting that bad behavior. Don't call your children names. Idiot, anomano, all those names. Over time, those names might begin to stick. We should remember that there's power in the tongue. So we should guide our tongue and to avoid disease from calling our children names. Protect your children from ungodly influences. That is, you should be selective in the things you expose them to. The things they watch at home, the kind of things they read. Please take out time to monitor and observe what they watch, the kind of friends they keep. These days of internet, make sure that they only visit healthy sites. You can even go and look at the browsing history and ensure that they have not gone to any unhealthy site. Please, it's very important. Spend time with your children. We have already dwelt on that. Come down to their level. Let them love. Let them know that they can trust you and confide in you. Try to find out the things that is happening in their world, in their own world. Continue to admonish. There's no time you say, I have finished training up my child. I can now relax. No, it is a continuous thing. Continue to train, continue to admonish, continue to teach and correct. If you have a child that has rebelled against you or that has gone delinquent, don't give up hope. With prayers, you can win that child back. Continue to pray. Pray, pray, pray. Pray and fast for each child every day. We should take an example from Job. Job will wake up very early and pray for each of his children by name. So we need to pray, pray, pray for each of our children. Call them by name. Pray for them. Pray for each of their peculiar needs. Who tells us that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You can't do it on your own. You need divine assistance. So you need to keep praying and fasting for each of your children. We need to partner with God, the owner of all children, to bring our children up successfully so that they can grow up in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and men. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I want to mention that you cannot partner with God if you are still living a life of sin. You have to make God your Father. You have to make our Lord Jesus Christ your own Lord and personal Savior. You cannot also grow in favor with God if you are still living a life of sin. That is, if you have not yet given your life to Christ. The Bible tells us that you receive salvation. It is only when you have received salvation that you can grow in favor with God. And you receive salvation by believing Christ in your heart and confessing Him with your mouth. And so this is an opportunity for you, if you have not yet given your life to Christ, to do so. According to the scripture, the time is now, and tomorrow may be too late. The time is now. You may not have another opportunity. So is there anybody who wishes to give his or her life to Christ? Anyone? You can begin to pray for yourself now. Pray for yourself now.